The title of my talk is Examining the Public Health Burden of COPD, the Third Leading Cause of Death. What population-based data tell us? And one of the things that we've tried to do over the years is to use information that we have, and it's been very difficult over the last 10 years or so. But we found out that once we got the data, we can use it to our advantage to heighten the awareness of COPD as the third leading cause of death. I have no relationships to disclose, and what I like to do is to basically describe the public health burden of COPD from a data perspective, to present epidemiologic and economic data to support the need for targeting preventive and control efforts for COPD, and then at the end of my presentation, I'll give you two examples of how data can drive community-based programs. What is COPD? I think most of you here in the room is fairly familiar with this particular chronic condition. It is a lung disease. It includes chronic bronchitis, emphysema, refractory asthma, and some forms of bronchiectasis. The airways are partially blocked. It's hard to get the air in and out. And you can see that there are resemblances to asthma. And that complicates the issue a little bit. And right now, one of the things that we're struggling with is the asthma-COPD overlap. Also, when you have severe COPD, you have shortness of breath and other symptoms, such as a chronic cough, chronic production of sputum, and so forth. It affects the activities of daily living, and as all of you know, it's the third leading cause of death in the United States. It is also a leading cause of disability. The data sources that we are using and have been using for years come primarily from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, or BRFSS. And here we rely on these data primarily for prevalence and comorbidity information. Also, we have data on mortality, emergency department visits, hospitalizations, and healthcare costs. So what's the prevalence of COPD? Across the country, it's about every 6 out of 100 people have COPD. It ranges from 3.7 in Puerto Rico to a high of 10.4% in Kentucky. In North Carolina, where I'm from, the prevalence rate is around 7%. And here, what is interesting is that you're going to see the dark areas along the Ohio River and the Mississippi River valleys. And that's where the highest prevalence rates are concentrated. The next slide gives you a little bit of a feel for the demographic distribution of COPD. People with COPD are, for the most part, or at least another way of putting it is, females have a higher prevalence rate than males. COPD is age-related in that it increases as age increases. In terms of ethnic racial breakdown, Native Americans have a rate anywhere from 2 to 3 times that of the average rate. And here in North Carolina, Native American rate is 18.5. And you can see that is over twice that for Caucasians or the white population. As we said before, as a leading cause of death, COPD ranks number 3. And in this graph, COPD is subsumed under the chronic lower respiratory diseases. It accounts for around 97% of this group of lower respiratory diseases, the others being asthma and bronchiectasis. COPD follows heart disease, cancer, and then after COPD is stroke in terms of mortality. Here, this map gives you a feel for the geographic distribution, and it resembles the map for prevalence as well, with the highest concentration of mortality in the Ohio River Valley and the Mississippi River Valley. But then you also see mortality being in these other two states, Montana and I guess that is Wyoming, right. And one of the hypotheses about death rates in these two states may be mining, exposure to environmental particulates from the mining industry. Okay, let's talk a little bit about healthcare utilization, and here we're talking about primarily people over the age of 45, emergency room visits. If COPD is the first diagnosis, the rate is around 78.1 per 10,000 population. If it's among any diagnoses, it jumps to 193 per 10,000. Hospitalizations, 5.5 per 1,000 population, and again, it jumps way up to around 32, 33 per 100,000 cases. I think a lot of people are familiar with the fact that COPD has a number of comorbidities. This is an example from North Carolina. The number one disability is, or rather comorbidity is disability, followed by arthritis, depression, asthma, having a history of cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, and kidney diseases. And I think what is interesting is that depression is one of the major comorbidities, and that points to the fact that many of these patients have a poor quality of life. So, you know, when they report on their mental health status, depression is one of these that's reported most frequently. What about the financial burden? Here, according to these data from an article in the Chest Journal, in 2010, COPD attributable costs in the United States is around $36 billion. And out of that, the medical costs are around $32 billion. Absenteeism costs $3.9 billion, workdays loss around $16.4 million. So the impact on healthcare costs is tremendous. And then when you look at the 2020 projected medical costs, which is going to be around $49 billion, you can see that in 10 years, there's an over 50% increase in medical care costs. The impact on healthcare costs, and here I borrow information from the COPD Foundation, and these are very, very relevant. COPD patient costs are on the average about $6,000 more than that for a patient without COPD. COPD patients with hospital readmissions, they're around 13 to 14%. Of these, 41 to 49% had readmissions within 60 days. And this is in particular a very, very burdensome issue in terms of readmissions. On the other hand, when patients are treated for COPD-related exacerbations, medical costs are lower. And it is, the impact on that is substantial in terms of lowering the costs. So what medical management is trying to do is to prevent these complications and prevent hospitalizations and prevent readmissions for hospitalizations. And once these things can be done, you're avoiding around 40% of the COPD costs. We need to look at a major factor of COPD. I think most of you, you know, having watched television, you've seen the commercials from the pharmaceutical industry for COPD medications, and you see smoking cessation products. And it is, again, a major issue, because if you, looking at this slide, you can see that whether you have been a former smoker or you are a current smoker, about 75% of COPD patients have had one of these statuses. So 75% have either been smokers at some point in their life, or they're still smoking in spite of the fact that they have COPD. And another major issue that is becoming a major concern is exposure to secondhand smoke. Okay, I'd like to talk a little bit about how we have used data to drive two community-based programs. In 2009, in North Carolina, the COPD Task Force received funding from NHLBI's Learn More, Breathe Better program. And with that, we focused on the county with the highest COPD prevalence, and there are 100 counties in North Carolina. This one had a rate twice that of the state average, 12.1%. And what we did with the funding was to go into that county and did outreach and education with healthcare providers, with patients, with customers of pharmacies. And here you can see a picture of a poster that we had along Interstate 85. And that's because the poster was located right next to Lexington, North Carolina, which prides on being the barbecue capital of the world. And that's why we had this message, smoke pigs, not cigs. A second community-based program that we developed was in 2011. Here we used data that indicated that lower income population groups, including those without health insurance, oftentimes go to free clinics for their health care. North Carolina has over 75 free clinics, the highest number in the United States. So we contacted these in North Carolina, Virginia, and South Carolina and implemented screening using spirometry for their at-risk patients for COPD. A couple other things that we've done in North Carolina as an example of how public health can help address COPD issues was to advocate for COPD at your state legislatures. And here we passed a smoke-free restaurants and bars law in 2010, and we did a couple studies on the impact on myocardial infarctions in ED emergency departments, and found that MIs were reduced by 21% a year after the implementation of the law. Asthma, again, there was a decrease, but not as substantial, and it was a 7% decrease. Also, we got the legislature to pass a bill to make sure COPD was reported on an annual basis, and that is being done as a chronic lung disease under the chronic disease care section. And the chronic lung diseases also include asthma and COPD as well. So what else do we need to do from the public health perspective? And I think those of you who are working with COPD are aware of the COPD objectives in Healthy People 2020. These include reducing the activities limitations among adults with COPD, reducing the deaths of COPD among adults, reducing hospitalizations, ED visits, and increase the proportion of adults with abnormal lung functions by screening. So there's still a lot of work to be done. The next steps, of course, and what we've been trying to do for the last 5 years here at APHA is to increase the awareness of COPD within the public health community, to educate our patients, healthcare providers, caregivers, policymakers, to increase the funding. And this is critical because in the past, we have seen very little funding. We've seen a little bit from CDC, which got some money from NHLBI to collect prevalence data. We began with one state in 2007 collecting prevalence, and that was North Carolina. Now we have all 50 states and Puerto Rico and the territories collecting information on COPD in terms of prevalence. We are hoping that The rest of the states will also collect information about screening for COPD, hospitalizations for COPD, quality of life among COPD patients, and so forth. And so, you know, with those information, you know, we can do a lot more in terms of our programs. Fourthly, we need to apply the framework from government initiatives. And here we've already have a public health framework. We have something in the form of a framework that could be used as a national action plan. And what many groups are doing now is collecting the data, going out into the community, and heightening the awareness. Also, another important aspect is this program called Learn More, Breathe Better, which is being sponsored by NHLBI. And basically, what we're seeing is that there's a lot of collaborative efforts going on. And in our room right now, we have representatives from the COPD Foundation, the American Lung Association, people from local hospitals, medical centers, state government, and so forth. So we're trying to work very hard and very much together to address COPD efforts. Last but not least, I'd like to give a shout out to Mr. Spock. And one of the interesting thing is that when he realized that he had very severe COPD, he tweeted about a year before before he passed, and he said, "I quit smoking 30 years ago, not soon enough. I have COPD. Grandpa says, quit now, live long and prosper." Thank you.